Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the High Vibe Tribe podcast, and I'm so excited today. I have a woman who is our guest, who I actually met on Facebook, so we've never met face-to-face, but the moment I connected with her energy, I have to tell you, I felt this soul-sister sort of connection, and sort of maybe even came on a little heavy as I was connecting with her, but I was just so excited to do so. And I've been feeling this same connection all morning long, so I know we're going to have an incredible conversation. So Lisa Warner, I want to officially welcome you to this segment of our podcast. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's an honor for me to be here. And I'm so glad that you reached out to me. You didn't come on too strong at all.
Okay, good.
It's very welcoming and warm, and it was just beautiful.
Fantastic. So everybody, I want to tell you a little bit more about Lisa and what she does, and really why I'm feeling so connected to her. So Lisa Warner is a guide to higher consciousness living. You may have bells ringing already. She's an Access Bars practitioner. And Lisa, I do want to talk about that a little bit as we get into our conversation. And the author of The Simplicity of Self-Healing. Her goal is to help her clients step out of the 3D matrix of the mind that creates and generates pain, suffering, and disease into the infinite wisdom and well-being of the soul. I think you're getting the picture here about why I feel so connected to her. Anyway, Lisa's personal journey through physical dis-ease was a catalyst for her own process of discovery into what was really going on inside of her body. And she saw the link between her emotional stress and physical symptoms. And knowing that the body is designed to heal itself, she chose to forego traditional medical treatment in lieu of fully understanding. And then, adjusting the mind-body-spirit connection. Along the way, she had a very deep insight into what diseases and diseases are, and was able to clearly see that it is our own fear and misinterpretations of these physical symptoms that keep us locked into unnecessary pain and suffering. Lisa now shows awakening humans how to free themselves from the 3D matrix of the mind so that they can create happy, healthy lives as their most radiant selves. She is passionate about helping others make the quantum shift into soul consciousness. And we'll also talk more about this a little later on in our conversation, but just as a heads up, anybody wanting to check Lisa out, she does have a private Facebook group called Soul Sourced Healing and also has videos up on YouTube. So I'll have all of that information, of course, below this interview. And let's just jump in, Lisa, because we have so much to talk about. So first off, you talk about your personal journey, and would you mind sharing some of that with our audience so that they can really get a clear picture about how your journey has affected what you do today and who you are?
Sure. Thank you so much. That was a beautiful introduction. I appreciate it. My story is I grew up as a really healthy, fit athlete, and I had this just lovely body that did anything that I asked of it. I was a figure skater. When I asked it to jump up in the air and twirl around and land, it did. You know, if I wanted to swim to the bottom of the lake, it did that. So I always kind of just took my body for granted, because it was just always there and it was always at my service. And as I grew older, just the struggles, the trials and tribulations of being an adult and surviving in this crazy world, I ended up having all kinds of financial stress. And the more financial stress I had, the more distress my body got into. And I started getting out of shape. I started to lose my zest for life. I started to just not feel good. And finally, one day, I found myself waking up terrorized by cancer. And I couldn't figure out where it had come from. At the time, I knew there was a connection between what was going on in my body and my emotions. But this cancer thing, this was not supposed to happen in my reality. It was very clear to me that it didn't belong to me and that I needed to do something to fix the situation. And I simply knew that the traditional medical treatments of chemo and radiation and pharmaceuticals and radical surgeries, all of those things, were not for me. Just, it was simply every time I thought of the treatment options, my body just cringed and said, no, 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 don't do that to me. So I had to start listening to my own inner guidance. And by that time, I was on my spiritual path already, so I already knew that, you know, somehow we are each creating our own reality. And so I knew somehow that I had created this situation for myself. I didn't know how I had created it, but I knew that my answer was to find out how I had created it and then uncreate it. So that was my approach. And so I went inward. I started to do my inner work. I started to look at my emotions. I started to learn about how our thoughts affect our reality. And during meditation one day, I was just very open, and I received a massive download of information all at once. And it was just the light bulb went off, and I realized, oh my gosh, this is not at all what it appears to be. I had been under the impression that this cancer was attacking my body. And suddenly I realized that's not what's happening. I realized that my body was simply doing what my body was designed to do, that my body was sending me a message. And I was misinterpreting the message. I thought I was being attacked. My body was saying, this is what I do when you go out of balance with your emotions. So from that moment on, I simply realized that, oh my gosh, I can actually trust my body, because I knew for certain that my body was designed to heal itself. So I started trusting my body. And as soon as I started trusting my body started changing. And it took only, you know, a very short period of time for my body to come back into balance.
So, I mean, I have so many questions that have popped up here. First, I want to ask you, had you always had this internal dialogue with your consciousness, your body, your awareness? Was that always a part of your life, or was this something new for you?
It was something that I like to say I was born awake. Mm-hmm. When I was a very, very little girl, I had some very profound experiences being outside of my body, looking at the earth and seeing humanity. I could see that humanity was asleep, that they had forgotten who they were. And in that moment, it terrorized me. I knew that the humans, when they were asleep and they didn't know who they were, it was like almost like a caged animal, and I could see that people would react in fear and would lash out when they were afraid. And so it seemed, when I was so little, that it wasn't a safe place to be. So I started to turn off my awareness, because I just, it was too overwhelming for me. So I ended up turning off my awareness. So that internal dialogue kind of, the dial turned way down on it. And there were a few times throughout my life that I had some very, very profound awarenesses, but I usually just shrugged them off and said, no, that can't be true, and just went on about my way. So when I was facing this this pretty big crisis in my life, I realized that I had to turn that back on. I realized I had to go back to that inner knowing that I had when I was 2 years old, and I had to awaken that part of me again.
So I have to tell you, and I want to share with our audience, that as you were describing initially, like, your connection to your body, and you mentioned figure skater, I just have to share this story because there are such correlations, such parallels to our lives. But when I was a young girl, I had one of my first past life experiences figure skating.
Wow.
And I was actually, it was the most amazing thing. I was probably about 9 years old, I think. And I remember my neighbor got brand new ice skates for Christmas. And they were that white leather boot, single bladed skates. And I remember seeing those for the first time, and I could barely breathe. And she let me try them. We were on the pond, and here I was with my, strap-on skates on my boots, and she let me try these figure skates, and I put them on, and I literally was taken into a different realm, and I began to skate on that pond in ways that I had never skated before. And I actually had a vision of me skating with a man. So we were a figure skating team. And we were ice dancing. And I was fully in the rhythm. And all of a sudden, the other kids, mostly my brothers, of course, started to laugh. So said, "What are you doing, Marcy?" And I snapped out of that dimension and came back to the present, and I fell flat on my butt and literally had to, like, crawl off the ice. And so as you said that, I could just feel this recognition of similar experiences coming through. And as you were sharing your experience, I'm seeing more and more the similarities. But what also came up for me was this thought about how, and I really want your opinion about this, about how there are certain experiences. I mean, clearly we have free will, right, Lisa? And it determines what we choose to do and how we choose to perceive things. But do you believe that there are certain experiences that are orchestrated through the universe in order to draw us as a soul forward into stepping into our purpose?
Oh, absolutely. That, I mean, it's really, from my perspective, it's really all about our soul's journey. You know, we come here as humans, and for the most of us, I believe that, you know, this is not our first go-round in this earthly existence, that many of us have lived many, many lifetimes here on Earth. And, you know, as the soul, we get wounded in our lives. You know, people betray us, we get killed, we get, you know, all kinds of things happen in our lives. And for all of the wounds that we haven't healed, you know, we carry those wounds with us as the soul. They don't just disappear when we leave this planet. So we are here, and for many of us, this is kind of our mastery lifetime, where we are here to clear out all of those soul wounds. We're here to let those scars heal. So I think that a lot of those things that appear to be orchestrated are the things that are, you know, they are coming up for us to be released, for us to look at them.
So let's get back then to your decision to forego conventional medicine. I don't know if you know this, but I my educational background is actually as a registered nurse.
Wow.
And when I worked in the hospital, I worked in post-open heart and neurosurgery. And at the same time that I was in nursing school, having this calling, right, this spiritual calling in my awareness, I also was ordained as a spiritualist minister. So I was trained in hands-on healing, mediumship, and channeling. And this was back in the 70s. So I've, of course, walked this journey with many people in terms of healing and what it takes to really find that alignment, body, mind, with the spirit, to align back with the true nature of health. So some of those people found that alignment by combining both conventional medicine and metaphysical medicine. Some people I have found have experienced that same alignment, putting full trust into conventional medicine. And then there are people like you who put their full trust into non-conventional medicine. What do you think trust has to do with the results? And what are you trusting in?
Yeah, absolutely. That's it exactly. You know, for me on my path, it was, I knew I had to learn to trust myself. And it is the thing that we trust. We can, no matter what it is, it's our trust in ourselves that we are making the right decisions for ourselves. So no matter what that decision looks like, whether it looks like conventional medicine, whether it looks like, you know, Chinese medicine, whether it looks like shamanism, whatever it looks like, it's, are you making the right choice for you? Are you following your own inner guidance? Because when we just, you know, the placebo effect, right? When we believe that something is going to help us, when we trust that something is going to help us, then it does. But when we lose that trust in ourselves, that's when we lose the trust in ourselves as well. So it's all about trust from my perspective.
So tell me something. How can you recommend that people get into that place of trust when fear is so compelling? And it can be, you know, it can be even more than compelling. I mean, you can drown so easily in the fear of a diagnosis.
Oh, absolutely.
So talk to us about being able to reach through that fear and to really cultivate that trust. And I love how you said, you know, you're really trusting you. So how do you do that?
Well, that's the whole hero's journey, right? That's why we're here on the planet, is to learn how to trust ourselves. You know, when we hop into these physical bodies, you know, we're these grand angelic beings. But then when we hop into these physical bodies, we forget that we're these grand physical beings, and we start to identify ourselves as these bodies, as these fragile vehicles that can fall down and get hurt and get killed and have disease. And so we feel that we're so vulnerable and, you know, that we're small in this great big world. But deep inside, there's got to be that little spark of wait a minute, there's got to be more here. Like, there's got to be more to life than just what meets the eye. And there's, from my perspective, you know, when I, listening to the beautiful Anita Morjani, you know, when she talked about, you know, she was on death's doorstep. She literally died on the, you know, in her hospital room. And when she passed over, she realized all of a sudden, oh my gosh, it's so simple. Everything is either fear or love. I was choosing everything from fear. And she came back into her body and she chose differently. And now she's out on the circuit talking and inspiring other people. So it is really that, are we willing to let go of our fears, realizing that fear is an acronym for false evidence appearing real? We are here to overcome our fears with the love and the light that we are. And as we clear out those fears, as we let them go and see them for the illusions that they are, we start turning our light back on, because, you know, we are light. You know, when we put ourselves underneath a microscope, all they get down to are their atoms. And those atoms are made up of tiny little quantum particles of light. So it's really clear, even from the scientific standpoint, that we are just light. But the fear turns down our light. The fear steals our light. It dims our light. It smothers our light. So, and fear comes in so many different varieties. You know, shame, blame, the fear of being seen, the fear of abandonment, the fear of being betrayed, you know, the fear of speaking up. You know, we have so many different types of fear that it can become really overwhelming. And they, when we get overwhelmed by the fears and the doubts and the hesitancies, our light just dims and it steals our life force energy. And then that shows up in our physical structures, in our cells, as distortion. Our bodies then, you know, are not functioning properly, because our bodies need to be nourished by our light. So it's up to each and every one of us to really be able to turn our light back on, so we fill ourselves with light, and then our bodies can rejuvenate themselves, and we can rejuvenate ourselves, and we can find the joy in life again.
So tell me something. What would you say to those who are consumed with victimhood of disease?
It is a very difficult place to be. I've been there and I've done that, and I know exactly where they are. Every day I was waking up literally being terrorized by this cancer that appeared to be attacking me. And I would have anxiety attacks, and my life was just, it was dark, and I was depressed all the time. But there was something inside that said, there's something else available. So can you tap into that thing on the inside? Or do you want to tap into that? Even if you don't know that that light is there, would you like for it to be there? Would you like for something better? And if you want that, like you were saying earlier, you know, we have free choice. So can you choose that? And even if you don't know how to get there, can you choose, I want something different, I want something better for myself? And then once you make that choice, the universe starts to rearrange itself around our choices. What I find is so many humans, we don't actually choose. We go, God, I wish things were better. I wish my life was better. I wish I was healthier. But those aren't really choices. They're, you know, when we are in that really dark spot, if we take a moment and breathe and bring our energy back and ask, what do I really want? What do I choose? And if we can choose life, that's our first step forward.
I can feel, excuse me, the brilliance of what you're speaking. So much light that's projecting from it. Tell me something, Lisa. Is this consciousness, right? This budding consciousness, or even just the willingness to ask, well, what if? Is that the transport out of what you were talking about, or I know that you do talk about, you know, this whole 3D consciousness? Like, how do you traverse those levels of consciousness where that health and well-being is?
Well, when we look at our bodies and we see that when a bone breaks, it heals by itself. When the skin gets cut, it seals itself back up. We can see that there's an intelligence in the body. And if we can start to look at that, we can start to trust that there's something more that's available. And when we can start to just open the door to the possibility that, wait, maybe my body can heal itself. Maybe there's something I'm not seeing. It's the ability to open the door and just ask, what else is possible? Because so many times we just come to a conclusion and we say, well, this is the way it is. Well, when we come to a conclusion like that, it locks the energy in place. When we say, this is the way it is, then that is the way it is. But when we ask a question and we say, well, this is the way it appears to be, but what else is possible? When we open that door, then the universe can start sending some answers. The universe can start sending some light. When we close the door with our conclusions, it locks out the light. When we open it with some expansive questions, we open that door and start letting the light back in. And we start to see that, wait a minute, maybe I'm not looking at this. Maybe there is more than one way of looking at this. Maybe there is something else that's possible. And when we open that doorway and we first start seeing just from a slightly different perspective, just even that perspective of hope, then we're we're set up for change. We're open to new possibilities.
So this place of victimhood, this place of sort of limiting ourselves in our view, in our perspective of the disease and illness, is that the 3D consciousness that you speak of? Is the 3D the limitation, or is the explain to us like what that 3D matrix is all about?
Well, from my perspective, there's the third dimensional consciousness. It's a bandwidth of consciousness that is based in, has very, very strict rules. And those rules are separation, linearity, polarity, duality. And so inside that third dimension, we have rules about right and wrong, good and bad, should and shouldn't, can't and won't, never and always. And when we have these rules, they lock the energies in place. You know, she's never going to be a good person. He's always going to be a bad person. We lock these energies in place, and then we lock ourselves in place. So from my perspective, in this 3D matrix that humanity is in, we have locked ourselves into so many man-made rules that we're having a hard time getting out, because these man-made rules are not in alignment with universal law. These are two very different things. So the 3D matrix makes us think that we're limited and we're small and that we have to and we should and we should never and we should always. And there are so many rules that we try to fit ourselves into a box. And it's a box of other people's expectations of us. And when we try to meet other people's expectations of who we should be or shouldn't be, then we lose perspective of who we truly are. So that's when we dim our light and we start shutting down and we go into states of dis-ease, because it doesn't feel good when we're trying to be somebody who we're not. So inside that 3D matrix, we lock ourselves into these invisible prison walls of who we are not. So right now, humanity, we're going through this massive shift of consciousness because we are starting to remember who we are. We're starting to realize, wait a minute, there's more to me. I'm not just this physical body. In fact, I'm not this physical body at all. This physical body is just the vehicle I've chosen to use to have this physical experience. So as humanity starts to wake up and realize, wow, I am an unlimited being. I have unlimited choices. Then we start to unlimit ourselves. So this is the process of leaving that 3D matrix is really what I talk a lot about. I help my clients to unlock themselves from these points of view that, you know, humanity has carried for eons of time, you know, disease consciousness. It just is what it is. You know, we are indoctrinated into disease is normal, disease is natural, protect yourself from these diseases. And so we are so indoctrinated by that mindset that we forget that our bodies are amazing vehicles and they are designed to heal themselves. They're designed to automatically rebalance themselves. But in order for them to do that, we have to be on board. We have to be shining our light. We have to be in balance. And then the bodies can rebalance themselves. If we get locked into that mindset of, oh, I have X disease, whatever you want to call it, I have cancer, I have MS, we can't have a disease and not have it simultaneously. So if we want to be healthy and fit and live in well-being, we can't have a disease, we can't own it. So it's one of the first things that we have to realize is that you can let that go, you can let ownership of it go. Change the wording. Because what I realized when I was going through my process was that if I was saying I have cancer, I realized, oh my gosh, I can't not have it at the same time. I would rather not have it, so I have to stop having it. I have to stop claiming it as my own. And when I stopped claiming it as my own, I looked at it and I thought, well, if I didn't have cancer, what would I have? And well, I'd have a body that's been out of balance. And why is my body out of balance? Well, my body's out of balance because I've been out of balance. And then from that perspective, I realized, oh my gosh, it's way easier to bring my body back into balance when it's simply out of balance than when it's being attacked by cancer. So it was a huge mind shift, but it was actually super simple for me once I was able to see that and let go of that whole idea and, you know, allow myself to simply be out of balance.
Well, you bring up such an incredibly powerful point here, Lisa, because I know that I have witnessed with people who have received a diagnosis, and it sounds strange, but like they were perfectly healthy before they received the diagnosis. In other words, they were asymptomatic, right? And then they receive this diagnosis, and it's as if all of a sudden there's been a directive, and everything starts to line up with it. And then all of a sudden there are all these symptoms that they never had before, and all of a sudden they're sickly. And even though they had what had been diagnosed, they weren't sickly before. And then all of a sudden they're at death's door. And I have seen this over and over and over again. So what you are sharing is so right on. It is number one, realizing and just accepting that we have the ability to choose whether to be locked into a sequence or not locked in. To accept something different for ourselves and to allow it not only to unfold but to actually feed it. Because once you shift your focus on the energy that you are feeding, everything changes. It has to, because your whole vibrational frequency changes and your field changes and what comes into your field changes. I love what you're talking about. And as I said, I have witnessed this over and over and over again. I have experienced this personally over and over and over again because we're human beings, right? And we are, subject to other energies that come into our field. And if we are not conscious of them, they can sort of wreak havoc. So,
Absolutely, yeah. And look at what happened in our world.
yeah.
The seed was planted, and enough. And the seed was so magnetic. The fear is incredibly magnetic, and it locks us in. It grabs a hold. So these sequences that you're talking about, when a diagnosis is planted, when someone hands you a diagnosis, it is so magnetic, especially in diagnosis that involves possible death. It's like, oh my gosh. And all of those sequences are locked in place. Here's the story. This is now the story that's going to
Right.
play out. And we get magnetically locked right into that pattern. So it's easy to see how that works when we look at our society today.
So how does this, you talk about this, this situation that we're in, right? So it's sort of compounded and continues to be compounded on a daily basis. But we've been living with the pandemic, and now we have a reaction, right? So everything has this chain reaction to it. So let's talk about the misperceptions of the biology that is connected first to the pandemic.
So, as humans, we have lived for eons of time under some assumptions about our body. Now, these assumptions appear to be completely logical and normal, but they're actually not true from a universal perspective. So, and what I mean by that is, just an example, kind of an aside, but just to show the example is for eons of time, humanity believed that because the sun rose in the east and set in the west and then circled around and came up again the next day and repeated the pattern, it appeared that the sun circled around the earth. And that was just accepted. That was the science. That was just clear. Nobody even questioned it until somebody questioned it. And then when they came along and questioned it, and they did all the science and research, and they suddenly, Galileo and Copernicus was the first one, and he went to the powers that be at the time and said, the science is not right. Look, I've done all these studies. I see it. It's plain as day that our science needs to change. And he was called a heretic. He was locked up. He was... Right, he was banished. He faced all kinds of repercussions for simply suggesting that the predominant paradigm was incorrect. So then it took Galileo another 150 years. He came along. He was like, did the same thing and said, "Wait a minute, the prevailing science, it's not right. There's something else." Well, now we're at that point with biology as well, and one of the things that we believe. Is that when our bodies display signs of, discomfort, diarrhea or pain, vomiting, fever, sore throat, congestion, we believe that these things mean that there's something wrong with our bodies. Well, this is an incorrect assumption. That now science is proving that our bodies are actually designed to do exactly what they're doing. They're not broken. There's nothing wrong with the body. The body is doing exactly what it is designed to do. And what's the body designed to do? The body is designed to survive. And we have these, we have so many misperceptions about what a virus is and what healing is. What they are now discovering is that when the body displays these signs, that they're not actually signs of sickness, they're signs that the body is rebalancing itself. But because we've never looked at the connection between our emotional traumas, the emotional wounds that we suffer, and then these physical diseases, it appears that these diseases just pop out of nowhere and that our bodies are being attacked. But what we're realizing is, just as I was talking about earlier when I said, I realized that, oh my gosh, my body's not being attacked. My body is just doing what it's designed to do. And, with germs and viruses, that it has now been scientifically proven that these germs and the viruses and bacteria are actually in our bodies to assist our bodies with the healing process. But because humanity has always, we've just always assumed that there's something wrong with our bodies when there's fever and congestion and coughing and things like that. We go in and we look inside the body and we look for a physical cause. So we look for the physical cause and we go, oh, well, here's all these bacteria in the body right now, so it must be them. They must be the problem. But what we're not realizing is that we are multidimensional beings and that we are both non-physical and physical, and that our thoughts and emotions that are non-physical are talking to our DNA, and our DNA has 12 strands of DNA. There are 2 strands that are physical and 10 strands that are non-physical. It's the non-physical strands of DNA that are communicating instructions to the physical strands. So the physical strands, whatever the physical strands are doing, they are doing it because they're being programmed by the non-physical strands. They're being told what to do, and they're being told to do what they're doing to keep us alive. So when we start to completely change the way we look at our bodies, we start to recognize that when our bodies display these signs, it's not signs of sickness. It's actually signs that the body is now healing itself. And so if we realize that the body is healing itself and the viruses and bacteria are there, they're the workers of the body. When the body heals, its healing is a process of reconstructing. It's reconstructing itself. And just like when you renovate your kitchen, if you hired a crew to renovate your kitchen and you didn't know anything at all about the renovation process, if you walked in a few days into the renovation process, you would walk into your kitchen and find it destroyed. And you would go, oh my gosh, they destroyed my kitchen. They were supposed to make it better, but they're destroying it. You would fire the construction.
You'd freak out, of course. Yeah.
So now we go in and we look at our bodies and we see the viruses and bacteria and we go, oh my God, they're destroying our bodies. But they're actually there helping the body to renovate itself. We have to start looking at viruses and bacteria from a different perspective. When we look from disease perspective, we look and say, oh, there's something wrong with my body. But when we realize that the body is designed to heal itself, and we start to realize, wait a minute, my body is actually performing perfectly. It's doing exactly what it needs to do, and it's in the process of rebuilding itself. We change our disease consciousness, and we change the way we look at our bodies, and we start to understand our bodies from a different perspective, and we stop fearing our bodies. We stop fearing these processes because we stop calling the renovation process by names such as cancer and MS and COVID and all these different names that we call it. And when we take those names away, we realize that there's just simply been an imbalance. And when we rebalance our perspective and we trust our bodies, then our bodies can easily rebalance themselves.
Brilliant. Such important information, Lisa. Thank you so much. And everything that I'm hearing is really pointing to how important it is for every single person to create this consciousness, this new level of consciousness where they are willing to see things differently and to embrace this journey of self-realization and what that produces. It's the difference between night and day and surviving and thriving and living and dying. I mean, it's just right there. It's so pivotal.
Exactly. And that's the point we are at in humanity right now. We are moving from that third dimensional bandwidth. We are raising the frequency of our collective consciousness into the fifth dimensional bandwidth. And basically, it just like you said, it's basically the journey from hell into heaven. As we leave that 3D matrix, all of the distortions, the fear, the doubt, the anxiety, the grief, all of that are kind of part of that 3D matrix that is so magnetic and it keeps us locked into these patterns. As we start to let go of those, as we open the door and ask, what else is possible? And we start looking for the light. Then we start raising the vibration. And as we move out of that 3D matrix, we do land on this new earth, this bright and beautiful new earth, where the earth heals herself, and the bodies heal themselves. And we start living in trust. We start living in peace and harmony. And our personal body is the microcosm of the macrocosm. As each one of us brings that peace and healing back to ourselves, it starts bringing that peace and harmony back amongst ourselves and onto our planet. So it's a direct metaphor. So to bring peace and harmony to the planet, that peace and harmony begins within each and every one of us. So there's the predominant belief that we have to fix what's broken out there. However, it's not about fixing what's broken. It's about moving beyond and moving into what we want. What I realized with my body, I realized I didn't need to fix what was broken in my body because my body was not broken. It appeared to be, but it wasn't my job to fix my body. Why? Because my body's designed to fix itself. So when I stopped worrying about what was wrong with my body and stopped being in fear of this thing that was attacking my body, this thing that was wrong, and started focusing on what I wanted, started focusing on the health that was natural, the body, the fit, healthy, happy body that I grew up with that followed my every wish and command. When I started focusing on that, realizing that that was natural, I realized, oh, if I just trust that, my body knows how to rebalance itself. That's my normal body. That's what my body wants to be. That's the set point. And when we start to realize that that, as humanity, we don't have to fix what's broken. We have to choose again. We have to look at what we want, not what we don't want, because when we look at what we don't want, we just keep creating more of what we don't want, because that's the way, the nature of this reality. The quantum field is designed, the law of attraction is designed to give us what we're focused on. So if we focus on what we want, the peace, the ease, the love, the joy, the well-being that's natural for us and our planet, when we start looking at the unity, then we start creating that. We will generate that, and all of the stuff that seems to be broken will automatically start healing itself, just like our bodies do.
I'm sorry that our time is coming to an end. There is so much wonderful, wonderful information here, and it's my hope that this audience will bookmark this this interview. Listen to it over and over and over again. And especially if you have any issues that are popping up that need you to shift your perspective, you can start right here. Just listen to what Lisa has shared. She has experience. I've had experience with the very same things. So you have at least two people who are speaking to you in unison, right? That there are other possibilities and that we are unlimited in what our abilities are when we know what to shift towards. And Lisa, do you have any parting words for our audience? Anything that you feel that you really want to add before we close today?
You know, we are each grand beings of light and love. We are made of light and love. And it's easy to have the fears and the doubts and the worries dim our light. But it's more important to start turning your light back on. It's not always easy to let go of those things, but the more you focus on your own inner light, go inside, focus on the light and the love that's there and start amplifying it. And when you do that, you will see amazing shifts in your reality and in the world outside.
That was amazing. It was beautiful. And Lisa, I'm sorry, but I have one more question for you, and it might be a question that others are wondering too. And that is, you've been talking about going from 3D to 5D. What happened to 4?
The fourth dimension is more of a transitional dimension. It's where we start asking the questions, like, who am I? It's where it's kind of that astral realm where the thoughts and the emotions combine. So it's that place where we have to kind of move through that as we're asking, who am I? What else is possible? So it's not a place that we really live for a long period of time. It's more that bridge between the third dimension and the fifth.
So there you have it, everybody. It is a clear path now. You don't need to wonder if you're going to fall into four. Okay? It's not a ditch. It is a path, and it's there for each and every one of us. And what Lisa said is my belief as well. And that is, we're hardwired for this. This is something that's more than natural. It's what we're meant to do. So Lisa, I want to thank you so much for being here today. And I look forward to many more conversations with you. And I want to thank you for coming, being vulnerable and sharing your story with us, but also giving us such wonderful tools about how to shift from that 3D to the 5D and to really embrace that this is the path that's laid out for us and we have everything within us in order to be successful doing so. So thank you so much again from the bottom of my heart. I know our audience has loved this interview. And for those of you who have questions or comments that you'd like to share, please do so below. But Lisa, if somebody wants to connect with you personally, how can they do that? And are you open to that?
Oh, absolutely. You're more than welcome to join I have a private Facebook group called Soul Sourced Healing. Everybody's welcome to join that. My website, connectingyoutoyou.com, and my email, you're welcome to email me, lisa@lisa-warner.com. That's lisa-warner.com.
Thank you again, and thank you everyone for tuning in to the High Vibe Tribe podcast and Heart Shift Radio, and I, of course, am your host, Marcy Newman, and I look forward to meeting you right here next time. Have a wonderful day now, everyone. Bye-bye.